We standing tonight with our King James 1611 Bibles in our hand, please. Amen. That book. Well, I've not got notes too much tonight. I got a few points and a few little scriptures I want to try to bring to your attention tonight. And hope that there'll be a blessing and a help to you by the grace of God. And I want you to turn your Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles, and chapter number 7 and verse 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7 and verse number 12. Okay? And I want to begin reading there in verse number 12. The Bible said, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Now that's all I'm going to read tonight. There's a lot more that I'd like to have read, but for the sake of time and so forth, that is all we're going to read tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight, Lord, for your presence, and thank you for what you've done for each of us, giving your life and drawing us to you that we might have life. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sin. Thank you tonight for the word of God that we have before us. I pray now you'll bless us and help us, Lord. I pray sinners will be saved. God's people find divine help. Move on every heart. Grant a revival, I pray, to begin in me tonight. And may it spread like fire through the people of God. And we'll thank you for all that is accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Solomon writing and said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." And I want to take these verses tonight, especially that verse, and several others that I've got written down that I'll be mentioning in the message, and just preach to you along the lines of revival. I sat last night and I got thinking about revival and about the condition that our not only our church, but many other churches are in, and not only our churches, but the condition that our country's in. And that was a result of sitting and talking quite some time with Brother Gray. As we talked on the phone, we both had the same thought wave running through our heart, and that is, what can we do? It seems like that we're almost up against a brick wall. It seems like every direction that we turn in, we're stopped in our tracks, really, from finding that open door that the Philadelphian church had in reaching lost sinners for Christ, and then, of course, having God's power and God's blessing in the house of God. I'm confident that we need revival. The longer I sat there, my heart broke. And I don't say this for a pin in my hat or a feather in my hat. I'm not looking for any feathers. But, I sat there and I wept. When I thought about the situation, the way it is, and the great scores and the numbers of people all around us that are dying and going to hell, and it absolutely seems like that there's a closed door, and we begin to talk about some things, about the great falling away and what's taking place in churches around us, and about, can we have a revival, and how can revival break out, and where it would start, and this and so forth. Mentioned a lot of things. And I got to thinking along the lines of revival and those things that are involved, included in revival, and who is included in revival, who it is that needs to be revived, where should revival begin, and so on and so forth. And of course, then I thought of this passage of Scripture. And in this Scripture, Solomon has prayed a prayer of dedication to the temple that he's built in Jerusalem. Eventually, in answering that prayer, the Lord filled that temple so greatly with the Spirit of God that it drove literally the priest and the out of the temple. They wasn't able to minister there because of the power and the presence of God was so strong that they had to move out of that. They had to get out of that temple. And I got to thinking about that revival, and I thought, Lord, that's the kind of revival we need today. Here they are. These men are Solomon's prayer has been prayed, and God has begun to answer that prayer, and has explained to Solomon what he would do if a famine came to the land, or if a pestilence came to the land. And he began to speak to them on how that he would revive them. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we need a sweeping revival in America. I want to change that phrase. I don't want anybody going out of here saying that Brother Hall is a revolutionist. But I want to say this in a spiritual sense, that America needs a spiritual revolution to take place. That's how far down the drain we are. We need a literal spiritual revolution to take place within our country tonight and in our churches. And I've had people say, do you think that we can have revival in these last days? The answer to that is yes. I wouldn't be preaching what I'm going to preach on tonight if I didn't believe that. I said this morning that things doesn't look good for the church, and there's going to be a great falling away, and that falling away is coming from the church. But I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, everybody doesn't have to fall away. You don't have to be a casualty along the way. You can in these last days live for God, and I'm just as confident as I am as I'm standing where I'm at, that if we really want to live for God tonight, that we can. That remnant, that little remnant, those that have not bowed their knee to Baal and kissed Baal, that little crowd that still loves the Lord, and that little crowd still reading their Bible and praying and coming to the house of God, and they're fighting the devil and the world and sin against all odds, but yet they're staying in there. I believe that crowd can have revival by the grace and help of Almighty God. And so I want to preach on that for a little while tonight. And simply say, who is it? Who is it can, there's a formula here that I see in this scripture about revival, and who can have revival? Well, the Bible said here, the Lord said, if my people. Now, there's never been a revival without people. It's the people that need to be revived. There's never been a revival without people, ladies and gentlemen. It is the people that need to be revived. But it is a particular people. He said, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, I'm just simply telling you that the world is never going to be revived. But revival is for the people of God. It is a particular people that he's referring to here. If my people, which are called by my name. And by the way, let me just stop and iterate right here. It was Daniel, when he prayed three times a day toward Jerusalem, when he opened his doors and looked at Jerusalem, and I'll say more about that in a moment, I think. But Daniel was taking this very promise of God into consideration when he was looking out that window and praying for God to send that revival to get him back to Jerusalem and to restore the people of God to where they ought to be, not only with God, but in that city of Jerusalem. And so it is a particular people that need revival. He said, it's my people, Brother, it's not somebody else's people. My people, God's children that need revival. And you know, that's a real blessing when you stop and think about it, that He calls us His people. That tells me we belong to the Lord. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. He's purchased us with His own blood. He shed His own blood to purchase our soul from the depths of sin. And He's done that. He said, hey, they're my people. I want to say to you tonight, I'm glad that I'm one of God's children. I'd rather be a child of God than anything else in this world. I really would. And it's His people, a peculiar people, a particular people. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, what about this people? How can God's people have revival? I got to thinking about this last night. And I thought, God's people to have revival, they need to be converted. Now somebody said, now Brother Hall, sinners need to be converted. Well, sinners need to be saved. And I'm not really sure that the word converted altogether is referring to somebody that's lost and without God. And you say, well, where do you get that from? Well, I get it from the book of Luke and chapter number 22, if you want to turn back there. I'll read this to you here in just a little bit, Luke in chapter number 22, if I can find it here in my Bible, Luke chapter number 22, and, well, I said I'd find it here in the Bible, Luke chapter number 22, and the Lord here is talking to His disciples, and in verse 67, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? His whole disciples have turned and went away from Him. He's given them the discourse on the bread of life. And they've departed and went away from Him. And He looked at them and said, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered Him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. I am in the wrong place, folks. You bear with me. I don't know what is wrong, but we'll get there in a minute. I want to look in Luke's gospel. We're not about to let the devil get the best of us. I want to look in Luke's gospel and chapter number 22. Luke's gospel and chapter number 22. And that's right what I've got underlined. The Bible said in verse 31, the Lord said, and I'm there now. The Lord said unto Simon, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, there it is. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm satisfied that this man was saved when this verse of Scripture was written. Right. But yet the Lord looked at Simon Peter, told him, and said, the devil has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But He said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. Now, can I say this to you on the authority of the Word of God? It wasn't long. Peter said, Lord said, I'd never deny you. And the Lord said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. Amen. And he certainly done that. He denied the Lord three times. And then in the book of John, after the Lord had already been resurrected, Simon Peter told the disciples, he said, I go a fishing. Now, here is a man that has been saved by the grace of God. He's been through the school of learning with the Lord. He's been through the school of prayer with the Lord. He has been taught by the very Lord Himself concerning the Christian life. And the Bible said that he denied the Lord three times. He said, I don't know this man. He said, I don't know this man. I don't know this man. And the third time, he cursed the Lord. Amen. And if that wasn't enough, after the Lord was resurrected, Simon Peter got with some of the other disciples and said, hey, I go a fishing. Now, it's before that that the Lord tells him, when thou art converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that Peter had a little problem here. That's right. He had a problem, and he actually had a little sin problem, and he needed to be converted. And he said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wonder how many in here tonight, if we like Peter would really be converted, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, I want to say if we'd really get changed, I want to say if God would really do a work within our heart and in our life, and God could use us to really strengthen the brethren, I wonder if it would really bring a revival to Island Ford Baptist Church or not. I'm just saying, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we're going to have revival, if God's people are going to have revival, then God's people are going to have to be converted. Well, I said, what do you mean by being converted? We're going to have to change our ways. We're going to have to rearrange our lives. We're going to have to rearrange our schedules and our lives. That's right. We're going to have some things change within us if we're going to ever see revival. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. And then will I heal their land, the Lord said. And I'm just simply saying, hey, these people are particular people. They're God's people. And they're people that gonna have to be converted. And then I thought, there's gonna have to be some that's gonna have to be changed. And I thought about doubting Thomas. And I'm not gonna try to turn there and read it all. But doubting Thomas, in the book of John chapter number 20. They'd been in the upper room and the Lord appeared to them. And Thomas wasn't with them. And a week later, the Lord came back and Thomas is there. And before the Lord came back, they told Thomas, they said, hey, the Lord was here. And Thomas said, I'm going to tell you something. Unless I see the print of the nail in his hand and thrust my fist into his side, Thomas said, I will not believe. About that time, the Lord appears to them again. And he said, hey, Thomas, put your fingers in the print of the nail. And thrust your fist into my side. And be not unbelieving. Be not unbelieving. And the Bible said that Thomas called him my Lord and my God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Thomas had a change in his life. He's called Doubting Thomas. This is a man that was living, I believe it goes even deeper than this. This is a man that was living a life of doubt. And something had to take place. He had to be changed. And I'm going to tell you something. God's people, some of them are going to have to be changed in our life if we're ever going to have revival. You know what keeps us from having revival? We don't believe God will send revival. We don't believe God can send revival. We don't believe God will send revival. We believe we're too far gone for God to send revival, but I'm telling you, we're never too far gone for God to send, for God to do what He wants to do in the hearts and lives of God's people, because there is nothing that's impossible with the God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And I believe that little remnant that God's coming back for, He's not coming back after a bride, ladies and gentlemen, that is a spotted bride, or a bride that is dirty in any way. He's coming back after a spotless, pure bride. Now, if that's the case, then some of us are going to have to change our ways and change our lives and the way that we live. Amen. Now, I'm about to get mad because somebody's got me croaked down.
Come on, preach.
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm honestly, Brother Gray, I'm trying to hold back from saying some things. Well, I'm just being honest with you, and I'm going to say it. We're not going to have revival as long as there's people in it. You can run me off tonight, but I'm not going to be able to preach this unless I just get plain about it. But we're not going to have revival at Island Ford Baptist Church until people in here get serious about serving God. I know about people get serious about being in the Lord's house. When the doors of the church are open, they ought to be here. Hey, come on, come on now. And they're just not. There's some things that need to be changed. Friend, did you not notice anything this morning? I'm telling you honestly, I got a little ill in my own heart this morning. You think we don't need revival? My wife stood right here this morning. Now, I don't know whether we need revival or we need to get right with one another. But my wife stood right here this morning and sang a song with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and tears running down her face. And it did not seem like it moved but very few people in this church. So I said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, bless your heart. Our hearts are as cold as they can be. They're, in fact, they're as hard as a rock. They're harder than ours. Amen. And God's going to have to take that gospel hammer and peck away at that heart. And we're going to have to be converted and changed if we're ever going to have revival at Island Ford Baptist Church. That's right. Some of you sitting here with your eyes shut. My wife sitting there weeping and trying to sing. You sitting in here with your eyes shut. God help you.
Amen.
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 We need God to speak to it.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure we don't need an old back door revival, friend.
Amen.
We're getting ready to have fun.
You're right.
But I'm going to tell you something, hey. We're a generation. I don't believe we want God.
Amen.
The Lord, hey, that Bible is still true. And the Lord said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. And then will I heal their land. But I'm telling you, I wonder if our hearts have not gotten so cold and indifferent toward God. Hey, that is, hey, it's going to take the gospel hammer over and over and over and over again in our life to change us that we might have revival.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Old Peter had been saved. Somebody said, now, well, Brother Hall, I don't believe people can quite get that bad. We're talking about a man that had been saved, lived 3.5 years with the Lord, was taught in the school of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Come on, amen. That's right. Was taught how to love his enemy. He was taught everything that the Lord knew, and yet he denied the Lord 3 times. He denied him 3. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And then got other men said, hey, I'm going fishing. I'm going to tell you, he needed changed.
That's right, man.
The Lord said, when you're converted,
right,
you go strengthen the brethren. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And he had to be changed. Thomas had to be changed. And Peter had to be changed.
Amen.
Then I want to say that I'm convinced. I'm convinced that Peter had to be changed just a little bit also in John 6. I'm convinced people not only need to be changed and converted, but they need to be convinced.
Amen.
In John 6, the Lord's preaching on the discourse of bread, the bread of life.
Right.
And his disciples, many of them went away and followed him no more. And the Lord turned to his disciples and said, will you also go away? And it was the same Peter that said, to whom shall we go? For he said, for we know for sure that thou art the Christ.
Amen.
And thou hast the words of life.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, we need people today, God's people today, need to be convinced that that is the word of life. Hey, oh friend, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to find it in a comic book. And you ain't going to find it in a porno book.
Amen.
You ain't going to find it in a comic book. You're going to find it in God's book. Amen. If you want convinced today, oh yeah, about Him, you'll find it in that Bible. Everything about Him. I'm telling you, I'm convinced about Him. That He is the living Son of God. That He came into this world, amen, and died on Calvary's tree, and 3 days later rose up out of the grave. And He's got the keys of death and hell about His girdle. Amen, that's right. And He's already bruised the devil's head. Thanks be unto God. The devil might have bruised his heel, but He's already bruised the devil's head. You better say amen right there, friend. Amen. He's already paved the way and made the way. It's just not a way. It's a paved way. Hallelujah to God. He made a way when there wasn't no way to be made. He made the way. When there was no way to get to God, He made a way to get to God. The blood sprinkled way. Thank God, and we're going one of these days right through the blood. If I said, do you believe that? I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I believe there's a trail of blood from the earth to heaven. Mercy seat. But if it wasn't for the blood, I'm satisfied the devils of hell would attack us on our way to heaven when we die or when we go into rapture. But I'm telling you, we're going the blood sprinkled way under the blood. Under the blood. Somebody said, are you believe that? I'm convinced of that. I'm going to say something else. I'm going to say this again. I'm convinced we can have revival.
Amen.
I preached years ago that we have revival and everybody laughed at me. We come as close as any church I've ever known. Now I'm telling you, will you listen to me for a minute? We were so close, and God cut that meeting off for a reason. I don't know the reason yet to this day. It was in 1996. And it was God that cut that meeting off. Bad weather and my sickness, and God cut that meeting off. Now I'm telling you, we were close. I'm telling you, we were that close to having revival. So don't tell me we can't. Men laughed at me and said, revival is not for this day. Let me ask you know why it's not? It's because people are not convinced that God can send revival. People are not convinced that we can have revival. People are not convinced that they need revival. There's too many folks that are self-satisfied and believe everything is all right in their own life and don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, that they must have revival, or I'm telling you, the devil is going to have a heyday in your life, in your family, in the house of God that we're all attending.
Yes.
Amen. You say amen or old me.
Yes.
Ain't no difference to me. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're in bad shape. Bad shape. I'm convinced God's people must be converted, and they must be changed, and they must be convinced of some things. And then I want to say, secondly, there's another thing. He said, My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. There's another thing involved here besides the people. If my people will do what? Pray. Brother Steve said again Friday, I said, what about the marathon? I said, I'm going to be at Willie's and I'll be leaving on that Monday and coming home. I said, the marathon will start on Thursday. He said, Brother Hall, I don't see any need of changing things. He said, the last few times we prayed every day that week at 1 o'clock or something like that. For an hour, and said, God seemed like He's honored that prayer time and blessed that marathon. And he said, I don't see any need to change it. And I'm going to tell you, I don't see any need to change it either. You know why? Because we're doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Brother, I'm telling you, He said to pray. Call unto me. What is that but praying? Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Now, that's right. God's people, brother, need to pray. Somebody said, how, Brother Hall? Fervently.
Yes,
fervently. I'm getting ready to bust some of you stinking hide.
Amen.
You know where I get that word? James said, in James 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And friend, that word fervent means to come to a boiling point, and bless God, we ain't even simmering. I don't even know if we're getting warm or not. I don't even know if we're lukewarm.
Amen.
We act like when we pray, we're afraid somebody's going to hear us.
Right.
I want somebody to hear us.
Amen.
I want Him to hear us. Somebody said, but we don't have to pray out loud for Him to hear us. No, but I'll tell you what, if you don't, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll lose your train of thought. I've been there. You ain't no need to try to tell me any different. I'm telling you, I've been right there. And I'm telling you, just praying silently to yourself, one thing or another, you'll lose your train of thought and you'll fall off to sleep and nod up and nod your head up and down and break your nose on the table. I'm just telling you.
Amen.
Brother, but I'm telling you, find you a sawbriar out here in the woods somewhere, a sapling bush, and get a hold of it with both hands and get a hold of God. Somebody said, well, you are talking crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy. No, I'm talking about getting a hold of God and praying fervently. They said that David Brainerd, when he prayed, could pray in snow 12 inches deep and pray outside in snow 12 inches deep and melt the snow 3 feet around him while he was praying. That's getting pretty hot, folks. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that's what I'm saying, you don't believe that. But it was so. Fervent praying, the effectual fervent prayer. Prayer is designed to affect what we're praying for or who we're praying for. The effectual, if we're praying for revival, then the prayer ought to have effect on our own hearts, on our own families, on our own lives. It ought to affect us in some way. And amen. And the more we pray, the more fervent we ought to get. And the more fervent we get, the more effectual we ought to be. And the more effectual we get, and I'm telling you, the more of God we have. And the more of God we have, the more His power we have. And the more His power we have, the more we see Him work. And the more we see Him work, the more blessings we have. And the more blessings we have, the happier we are. And the happier we are, the more joyful we get. And the more joyful we get, the more we worship. And the more we worship, the more He shows up. And the more He shows up, ladies and gentlemen, the happier we get along the way, I'm telling you. We need to pray fervently. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. I'm talking about revival. There's people in revival. The people of revival are a particular people. God said they're my people.
Amen.
And they need to be converted as Peter was. Need to be changed as Thomas was. They need to be convinced. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. They need to be like Elijah and pray. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, he was Elijah. Have you never read your Bible? The Bible said he was a man of like passions as we are.
Yes, sir.
We read the Bible and we act like men and women in the Bible were superhuman.
Right.
No, they weren't superhuman. But they had a super God. They had a spiritual God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. They had a spiritual God. And they knew it. It wasn't that they was, wasn't that they were any greater than what you and I are today. Somebody said, we've got it harder today than what they have. Well, hey, well, the last one of you that spent a few months down at the brook with nothing but water and some food at Ravens brought you over, raise your hand up, will you? I don't know anybody live like that, Brother Troy.
Amen. That's right.
When was the last one? Like John the Baptist that was thrown in prison for your preaching.
Amen.
When was the last time a preacher was had his head cut off for preaching against adultery?
Amen.
Oh no, we've seen it easy, folks.
Amen.
And the preacher was right this morning. The easiness, having always down the smooth road, has got us so laid back on our leaves that we've forgotten what God is able to do for us and what God wants to do for us and what it's going to take for us to have God's blessings on us. Oh, I still believe, Brother Gray, that God's able. Oh, I believe God's able to open up the window to heaven, that's right, and shovel us out a blessing that there'd not be room for us to receive it all. Yes, sir, I'm telling you, His spoon's bigger than our shovel, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, God's able to shovel it out to us. God wants to bless us.
Yes, he does.
But I'm telling you, he can't bless us dragging around, bless God, like we got dead lice falling off of us.
Yep.
Like our mother-in-law moved in to stay. Amen. That's just an old saying. And I said it didn't set well with some of you.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just telling you, prayer and fervent praying will get the job done, friend. James said we need to pray fervently.
Yes, sir.
We need to come to a boiling point. This now lay me down to sleep stuff is all right for little boys and girls, but I'm going to say Paul said, when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things.
Amen.
Well, there is such thing as praying like a man. Praying like a woman. Praying like a daddy. Come on, daddy. When was the last time you prayed for your children? I'm talking about earnestly, fervently prayed for your children. You want to borrow my ottoman? I'll loan it to anybody in here that wants it.
Amen.
It's already been anointed. It's got the oil on it. It's oceanized. Amen. That's right. It's been anointed with the slobbers from the lips of clay of an old Baptist preacher that God opened up his ears and his heart to. And heard what I had to say.
Amen.
By the grace of God, God sent revival to my heart, Brother Gray.
Yes, sir.
And by the grace and the power of God, he moved in my children's life. I'm going to say they may not be the greatest in the world, but oh, they're in the house of God somewhere tonight. Every one of them's in the house. I'm talking about my three now. I'm talking about my three. I can't account for my grandchildren.
Right.
I pray for them and love them, but I can't account. I don't give an account for them. Their mommies and daddies will.
Right.
But I'm telling you, my three somewhere in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
Oh, yes. I believe they'll stay there. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what about people that their children are not? I'm not chiding you. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you to see what God can do. What's that little old song? It is no secret. What God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Now I'm going to tell you, no respecter of persons. Woo, hallelujah.
Yep.
Brother, I'm going to tell you what, if he put old Brother Hall's face in that old orange ottoman and let me watch my youngins walk the aisle of the church and get born again by the grace of God, he'll do the same thing for you.
Amen.
And you don't have to get in a hurry. I know some of you in here saying, preacher's trying to pick some of them green. I don't want to pick none of them green.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what I do want to do. I want to spread a little seed around here and there. Amen. I want to tell them that the Bible said whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, shall be.
Amen.
And some of you English scholars correct me on this. When he said shall be, I believe that is a positive affirmation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Shall be saved. What about that?
Amen.
Calling on him. People said, well, I called on him and then I lost it. Friend, you just never did call. You might have hollered. There's a difference in calling on God and hollering. Pardon me, Kentucky English. I'm talking about calling unto God. Oh, yes, sir. I'm watching God reach down an omnipotent, merciful hand.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing any more blessed and precious than seeing God working in a church and God working in families, God working in homes, God working in communities, seeing things happen you never dreamed could happen. I'm talking about seeing God do things that you know God had to do because you've got enough understanding and realize that God couldn't have, that you couldn't have done it on your own, that God had to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not trying to pick these kids green. No, sir. I don't want them to make a profession until God deals with them.
Amen.
Every one of them.
Right.
I wouldn't want to baptize a one of them lost. It done been enough of that went on to start to end it anyway.
Amen.
We don't want to baptize no lost people. They just go down a dry center and come up a wet one. That's all. There's no change in their life.
Amen.
Buddy, I like to see them make a change.
Amen.
Yes, sir. He made a change in me.
Yep.
Amen.
He'll make a change in you. If you really get under here, I'm talking about a real change.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, you don't understand what I have to go through with out there in the world. My heart, I'm serious when I say this, my heart bleeds for those of you that are out in the world.
Amen.
But at the same time, I've got enough sense to know you can make it. You can make it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you how you can make it. You've got the same God in the world we got in here working in the house of God. He's not any different out there than He is in here. The crowd may be different, but God's not any different. And it's not the crowd that's going to help you. It's God that's going to help you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Praise His wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, I've seen him down there at Tabernacle run out through the fields from that Tabernacle out there at Greer Baptist Camp. I've seen him run down through the woods shaking hands with every sassafras bush. Bless God in the country. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that's in the flesh. Hey, friend, don't knock it if you wasn't there.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'm not in for all that. I wasn't either when I got there, but I got in for some of it. I never did get into all of it. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen God get on some old boys. You better believe it. Amen. Somebody said, oh, God don't do things like that. Friend, God got on Elijah, and Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights on one meal. To Mount Horeb.
Right
or not.
Right.
God got on Moses and he spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of the mountain with God. Right
Amen.
Or wrong.
Right.
Twice.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He done that.
Amen.
You may be surprised what you'd do.
Yeah.
God got on a little old ruddy faced boy. Just a boy with a sling. It's like I told a fellow down there at the gun store the other day. Somebody said something about a Colt rifle, an AR-15. He said, oh, I'll tell you right now. He said, I wouldn't have one of them Colts. He said, I'd take a Smith & Wesson any day over one of them Colt AR-15s. He said, hey, Colts. Said, I wouldn't have one of them. Said, it don't work. Said, how about you? And I said, well, I'll tell you about me. I said, there's a fella in the Bible, and his name was David. And he was going out to fight a giant. And a man with the name of King, by the name of Saul, said, here's my armor, David. Take my sword and take my armor and all this. My shield said, go out and fight that giant. And David put all that stuff on. He said, I can't go out with this. He said, I've not proved it.
Amen.
And I looked at that man, and I said, I ain't proved your Smith & Wesson. But I have proved the Colt.
Amen.
When I pulled the trigger, honey, it sent lead out the end of the barrel.
Amen.
So why change? If you got something that works, why change? Now I'm telling you, we got something that works in our churches, and it's praying, preaching, and praising. It's always worked. It will work, and it will continue to work for glory of God to see our young people say, amen, baptized into the church and live for God. I'm not ready to kick. I wasn't afraid of getting y'all mad. I'd kick them far from off that table. That's right. Don't tell me it won't work. What's worked will work. Somebody said, things have changed. Times have changed. God hadn't. The gospel hadn't. The Bible hadn't. None of that has changed. That's right.
Hallelujah.
I'm just telling you that we need men with a pray fervently. We need men that'll not only pray fervently, but we need men that'll pray faithfully. Daniel in Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10. They had signed that decree, said anybody that worships any God except you, O king, for 30 days, let them be thrown in the den of lions. And David, when he knew the decree had been written, as he did aforetime, David went to his room, raised the windows, and prayed three times a day. And here's the killer of that. The Bible said, as he did aforetime.
That's right.
Oh, he was faithful in praying every day.
Amen.
He didn't even let the threat of death stop him from praying.
Amen.
The preacher was right this morning. Where are the martyrs of our day? Somebody said, well, God don't expect us to go over there and put our life on the line. He put His on the line.
Amen.
They've been those who went before us put theirs on the line. What about John and Betty Stamm lost their heads?
Amen.
What about Nate Saint and them guys that lost their lives down in the Amazon?
Right.
What about old Paul that lost his? What about James that was killed by sword? Maybe in others, friend, you might be surprised. What about David Livingston? He died on his knees, leaning on a cot, praying for Africa.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Really? Tell you, God don't expect us to do that today. I sat there this morning as Brother White preached and talked about missions. And my heart said, Lord! No, the Lord said to my heart, said, all you do realize that great nation, China, is dying and going to hell, and there's not anybody at all over there telling them about God.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a few people try to get in there and talk about being missionaries over there, but they don't go in and out much. They don't go in much. They don't stay in long. What about Vietnam?
Yeah.
What about Russia?
Man.
Oh, somebody said, well, I certainly wouldn't want to leave what I got and go to a place like that. That's right. Nobody really wants to. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't want to leave what He had in heaven either and come here to die for you and me, but He did.
Man, yeah, that's right.
He left His glory, Brother Troy. He laid His glory aside and said, Father, I'll go and give my life into the hands of sinners and die for their soul on Calvary. Oh, yes, sir. Son, you talking about a martyr's death? What about Jesus?
Yeah.
What about some of you young boys in here? Bless God, you need to be thinking about preaching. Somebody said, well, I don't think you ought to pray and ask God to call somebody to preach. Well, you're a naive idiot.
Right. Amen.
I think you ought to pray and ask God, Lord, can I go preach? Somebody said, prove that to me in the Bible. Okay, Mr. Smart Guy, I will. How about Isaiah and chapter number 6, I believe it is. Isaiah said, hear my Lord, send me.
Amen.
Who'll go for us? Hear my Lord, send me. Did he volunteer or go or not?
Amen.
But now, if he had went without the rest of that call, he went out of the will of God, but God went ahead and called him and said, go on, preach.
Right.
What about those men in Esther's day when that king wrote those letters and sent them to the Jews to save their life? They had an order had been put out to kill them all.
That's right.
And the king rewrote that order and said, you take this letter and let the Jews slay as many as they want in Shushan Palace. And the Bible said, the Lord told him, said, you've got the letters, now run with them. Now I'm going to tell you, we've got the gospel and we ought to be running with it.
Right.
Oh, you say, what? We live in a lazy, sorry, cold-hearted society that's letting millions around the world die and go to hell, and we're doing nothing about it. With I asked Brother Gray yesterday, I said, Brother Joel, what can we do? Did I not ask you that? I said, what can we do? I don't know what to do. I wish to God I knew what to do. I'd do it. Now, I'm not mad. I'm just preaching hard. I said, I was honest with Brother Joe. I said, I don't know what to do. I want to do something. Something needs to be done. Christ didn't leave us here to draw up in a corner and waste our lives away doing nothing. Christ left us here to be a bright and a shining light in this world. Well, I think about that little old tire, what do they call it? Up there at Brother Walton. Huh? Lighthouse. And this all opened up that little old lighthouse. That woman just had opened the door. She said, be $2 a piece, please. I give her $2. We went up that little stairway and got up to that top ramp. It's about a 5-foot ladder. Miss Hall said, I'm not going up on that. Somebody can see up my dress. I said, I'm going up. I went up and there would look like something like a honeycomb. Had big thick glass about that thick, staggered on top of one another, all around it and all down it, still staggered. And I looked at that and I looked up in it and they'd converted it years ago from coal oil, kerosene, to electricity. It had a little old light bulb in there about that big around. I said, for crying out loud. How in the world they expect, they really suspect me to believe that little old light is going to do any good for anybody? I said, why, that little light bulb? I said, that little light don't throw out enough light. I said, you couldn't even walk through the woods coon hunting with something. That little lantern put out more light than that. I ain't going to do no good. And the Holy Ghost said, you're stupid, son. I said, Lord, are you talking to me? He said, ain't nobody here but me and you, is there? He said, you're stupid. And I said, okay, enlighten me. He said, it's not the light bulb. It's those canes over the light bulb. He said, they're magnifying glasses. And that light shines through the magnifying glasses. Amen. And he said, it'll send a beam, a bright beam across the waves. Where some poor wayfaring seaman might be rescued. They might see the light and make their way into the safe haven of rest. Hallelujah. And there is a haven of rest. I'm about ready to sing and go crazy at the same time. I don't know how long I've been a preacher, but it's Roman, don't care. But thank God for the haven of rest. And there was a light, a brightly beamed along the way. I sent out a light and I saw that light one night. God said, you're stupid. And I said, now, Lord, what's the moral of that story? He said, you ain't much, pal. But he said, if you let what little light you got shine through me. Amen. Just let your little light shine through me. Amen. I'll guarantee you'll see something. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. My people, which are called by my name. Pray. Hallelujah. And pray faithfully. I'm going to tell you, we need to pray forgiving. That Bible said in Matthew chapter number 6. I hope you've read that. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 11. The Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you get that at? My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. If there had been one sinner that Christ was not willing to forgive, there had not been one sinner saved.
Good.
He was willing, friend, to forgive. Now I wonder tonight if that ain't a mess in our Baptist churches. I've never seen so many people. My life was grudges, gripes and groans and belly aches. Am I telling it right or not?
Yes, sir.
The Lord said, you know, if you're not willing to forgive people of your trespasses, He said, I'm not going to forgive you.
Amen.
Maybe that's why our prayers are for, we're asking God to forgive us, but we're not getting anywhere with it. It may be because we've got sin in our own life, or maybe because that there's somebody that has indebted us, and when I say indebted us, I mean they've offended us, they've trespassed against us, they've sinned against us, they've said something we didn't like. And we took it too much to the heart and can't get over it.
Amen.
Bless God if that's the way they feel.
Let
them go on their way. I don't need them anyhow. I'm telling you what, there's a man left this church and I saw him in a bank. Standing right beside him, Mrs. Billy. Andy. I said, how you doing, brother? I said, how you doing, brother? And I thought to myself, Brother Steve, I thought unto the Lord, that man thinks he's a Christian. Where's he going with God? Where's he think he's going with God? If Christ forgave him, Josh, of all his sin, I mean all of his sin, all of his sin, and he won't forgive anybody? Which there really wasn't anything to forgive. I'd already forgiven him. He was a transgressor. Not me. He did not get right. And I'm going to tell you what. If you die wrong, friend, if you're saved and die wrong, you just might as well mark her down. There ain't going to be much waiting on you over on the other side.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to die right.
Yes,
Foley, I don't want to die with all in my heart, with something like that. I mean that. Brother, I'm telling you this. I sat down the other night and I said, Lord, let me just do a checkup. Is there anybody down through the years that I need to get right with? The Lord says, how far are you willing to go to get the job done? I said, to the end of the earth if it takes it. And I meant it. I was willing to go anywhere, back to any church, back to any people, back to any person, back to anybody that I knew that I'd offended, hurt, or otherwise, and needed to get forgiveness out of them. I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I don't mind telling you this, and they might be listening, and I love him if he's listening. I hope he don't think I'm being ugly. I'm not being ugly. I'm not. I'm being kind because I love the man with all of my heart. But a man worked here one time, and I had to let him go. And I know there was problems there. Several years ago, I saw that man down at the Egg Imperial Garden, and that door opened, and big tears started running down his face. And son, he come made a beeline to me, and he said, Brother Hall, I love you! Forgive me, I love you! I said, brother, I said, no problem. I said, hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. That's worth shouting. That's shouting time.
Right.
Amen. If I could have, I'd have picked him up and thrown him around a little bit. Amen. Then I wasn't big enough to do that. But that's shouting ground, friend. Forgive him. When somebody is forgiven, when you forgive somebody of their sin, somebody said, how do you know that's shouting ground? When Christ forgives the sinner of his sin, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents more than 99 that need no repentance.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right. Forgiveness. What about that? I don't know about you, but I kind of like it.
Amen.
I don't know what that fixed. They're not mine. I can't see out of them. That's why I get messed up up here. I can't see and I get confused and turn around backwards. Can't read my own writing. But I'm going to tell you somebody else that's involved in the Bible. I'll be done here in just a minute. I'll tell you somebody else that's involved in revival. That's preachers. I'm going to tell you why we're not seeing revival. Now, I want to go out and preach to the people. And you is one of them. But I'm telling you, it ain't no more the people's fault than it is the preachers. We're a sorry lot, friends. I said, we are a sorry lot. May God have mercy on our soul. When I read some of them old writers, the hours of the day that they spent in the Bible and then on their knees in prayer and praying for their people and praying for souls to be saved and the education they had, I believe at the age maybe of 16 or 17 years old, Charles Spurgeon could already speak Latin and Greek both. How old was he when he spoke it, Brother Steve? Was it off very far? He could speak it though, couldn't he? Fluently speak it. As a young man, I'm saying the problem today with preachers. A preacher, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. We were somewhere the other day. In fact, I'll tell you why I'm not going to tell you who it was. I don't remember. And me and Miss Hall were doing something, and I was looking at something, and he said, do you play golf? I say golf. I don't know how to say that word. I get golf and Gulf of Mexico and golf balls mixed up. I said, no, sir, I don't. I'm just being honest with you. From me right on down the line, buddy. If we want to have revival, us preachers, we're going to have to layer on the line and realize that God didn't call us to tiddlywink around and mumbly peg around and play games. God called us for one reason, that is to preach the glorious gospel of Christ. Now, I'm not against a man working if he has to. But I'm telling you right now, a man that's got money laid up for years in the bank and out here running around all over the country making tons of money and trying to preach and preach a little here and there, then giving up here and giving up here and giving up here a little bit. I'm telling you, I'm putting my stock in a preacher like that.
Amen.
Right.
I know sometimes a man has to work, Brother Joel, but I'm here to tell you, friend, that is not what God called us for. God called us that we spend our time in prayer and in the Word of God, is what it said in the book of James.
Right.
And I've made up my mind that I've got to come up with a way. And I'm fighting a battle. And I've never, some of you know this and some of you don't, but I'm fighting a battle. I've got medicine that I've got to take at night. And I'm just telling you now, I know I've got people out there listening. But I've got medicine, Brother Troy, that if I don't take it, you can just forget it. I ain't sleeping. If I take it and go to bed, I might doze off at 12 and wake in at 3. And somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, only one thing wrong with that. When medicine time comes and rolls back again, and I'm sitting there in that chair, I start doing this. And you can't do much that way. Somebody said, well, take a lot of the medicine. And then you'll be able to sleep longer. That's the only problem. If I take all of it I'm supposed to, praise God, I don't want to get out of bed at noon. And then I'll sit there in a chair and feel like a zombie. And it's rough. And I don't know what's going on now. I just sitting over yesterday, and I just dropped. I mean, like a beef. And so I said, I never seen anything like it. I said, you were sitting there talking, and said all at once, said your head just said, that's it. I was gone. Out of it. I could be sitting, Brother Stephen, start dozing, something, doing something. And I start having a dream and my legs would just go to jumping and to kicking. Honestly, I never seen anything like it in my life. But I'm going to make a way. Some way. And somebody said, how you going to make a way? I can't, but He can. He called and He gave. And what He gave, God's able to overcome. Yes! And I'm going to tell somebody something. If you want me gone, stand up and vote. But I ain't leaving without it. Amen. I ain't ready to go nowhere. Miss Hall said, I'll tell you what, honey. She said, that doctor down there told you you need to resign or your blood pressure's up too much. She said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, I'd tell you to do the same thing. But she said, I'm telling you right now, you'd go nuttier than a fruitcake. I said, you're right. I couldn't take it. You know why I couldn't take it? I'm just telling you. I know I preach a long time, John. I know you'd like to go home, bless your heart. You've been here all day and you're tired and wore out. I compliment Him for that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I can't quit. I'm called. I'm called to God. I just got to keep preaching. I got to keep. Ain't that right, Brother Jerome? I got to keep preaching.
Amen.
Somebody said, what if you die? Praise God. Don't threaten me with heaven, friend.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I'd like to take care of Miss Hall before we go. But I'm telling you right now, there ain't no turning back in this army, buddy.
Amen.
There's no, what's your verse say? Discharge from this war.
Amen.
A preacher is forever a preacher. And by the way, so is a deacon. These Southern Baptist churches around here ain't got a lick of sense about them. They'll get a deacon, keep them for a year, and get more, put them out and get more deacons from here. Hey, Bible, the callings of God are without repentance.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not about to make some of y'all mad or where you at or something. I don't know. Lord, help us. Hey, a preacher needs to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Acts 4:31, when they went back to that building they were in, that Bible said they prayed. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost in that building. And it said they spake the word of God with boldness. Man will never speak it with boldness till he's filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, where do you get that from? I'm going to tell you something. You know what he told Ezekiel? He said, don't worry about how they look. Told you about that. Don't worry about how they look. Just preach.
Amen.
Is that right or not? Amen. Got to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to say secondly, a preacher ought to be faultless. Now, I use that word lightly. I'll change it to the correct word in Timothy 3. Blameless.
Amen.
That's right. Too many preachers carrying too much baggage. They ought to be blameless.
Amen.
More than half. And I'm going to say this, and some of y'all ain't going to like it. But I'm going to tell you something else preachers need. They need to have a little foreknowledge. Somebody said, now that's God's business. Come on now. You're going to tell me that God don't give a preacher enough? Hey, when I talk about foreknowledge for a man of God, I think even a husband and a father ought to have a little foreknowledge. We ought to have the ability to look down the road.
Right. Amen.
And realize when there's problems going on and what is going to transpire out of those problems. And I'm telling you, I've seen it, buddy. I've seen it come to pass. I've watched it over and over again and over and over again. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen again. Right here. A key right here. It's coming. I can tell you where it's coming from. I'm not that big of a fool, but I can tell you where it's coming from.
Right.
I'm going to tell you why. God's given me a little foreknowledge.
Right.
Amen.
I ought to give you a little foreknowledge about your family. Your wife, gentlemen. Your children. You ought to be able to tell something's happening before it happens. I mean, if I'm sitting in my house and I see some dude run through 5 gallons of gasoline and a blowtorch in his hand, I've got a pretty good idea. He's getting ready to burn my house down.
That's right.
Don't take a fool to figure that out, does it? And if I see my children sassy, loud mouth, back talking, listening to rock, country music, watching junk on the internet they don't have any business watching, I tell you, I can pretty well, in foreknowledge, tell you there is a problem in their life. They're headed for trouble.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, Daddy, you better do something about it. I'm getting ready to close. My last point. I see a person here. My people, which are called by my name. By the way, my's used, and I, 4 times, personal pronoun. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their hand. 4 times he uses that pronoun. My. So I say for revival, there's got to be a person. We ain't going to have a revival without Him.
Amen.
You say amen to that?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. It's got to be a person, hey, with authority. Somebody said, where do you get any authority out there? He said, if you do these things, I've said them so many times, He said, then will I hear from heaven. He didn't say he might. He said he will.
That's right.
And he said, I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A man that will tell you I will do something that's seemingly an impossibility has got some kind of authority that you and I don't have.
That's right.
Brother, he holds it. You realize he holds it. The kings of this earth in His hand.
Amen.
He turns the waters whithersoever He listeth. He can open up heaven that it not rain, and He can open up heaven that it rain and shut it up that it don't, that it won't rain. Open it up that it will. He can make the crops grow or He can dry them up. He can bring up well-favored kind out of the river, or He can make bad kind, ill-favored kind, come up out of the river. God can bless you, or God can dry you up like a potsherd shell.
Yep.
That's right. He's got the authority. He has got the authority. And He said, I will hear. He's got, hey, and He's got the authority. If He hears, He'll do something about it. And He said, I will forgive.
Amen.
Folks, again, that's positive. I will. Not might. Will. If you'll do these things, I will.
Amen.
I see signs all the time when I'm driving that says, if my people. It's not the guys out on the bar stool. It's my people. It's not the guys down at the raceways at Talladega and places like that and the Daytona 500. It's my people.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. That idiot that made that prayer down there a while back. Boogity, 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 amen. He ain't my people.
Amen.
He's a moron. You can tell him I said so. See him?
Amen.
Well, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you men ask me after the service what the man said. A preacher praying. And at the end of it, he said, boogity, 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 amen. thought, boogity, my hind leg, bud. I know some of y'all just think I'm an old fuddy-duddy preacher, don't love nobody. But I'll tell you, I do love it. I'm going to see our people blessed. I mean that. I want to see our people blessed.
Amen.
I want you to listen to me. A tape that I'm going to bring over here and play. And I know, I'm not being ugly. That little boy there's got some problems. But I'm telling you that if you got a problem with his problem, you've got a problem.
Right.
I don't care who you are.
Right.
That's right. I got a granddaughter that's got a problem. I saw my wife sitting over there last night, Brother Robert, tears just streaming down her face. I thought, honey, what is wrong with you? She just kept crying. And I heard something on that computer and I eased over her. And there was KK, Miss Patty, sitting there. She had her little book in her hand. She said, the mother slice. I said, oh, God, I said, it may not be much. But I said, it's an old bit, hallelujah to God. Brother, you talking about throwing my soul, Brother Steve, that threw my soul. Amen, that's right.
Amen.
God help us. Now, I'm going to tell you why I've got a heart. And I told him, and I said, God's dealing with me about them little kids. I'm going to tell you why. When I married her, she had a brother that had a problem with his brain, bless his, Wayne's little old heart. And he'd have a seizure and just draw up and just fall over backwards. And the first time I was there, and he did, I ran over there and grabbed him. And he come out of that seizure, man, and he come up with that raw hand. Wow, Tommy, he likes to knock my teeth out. And I thought, now wait, bud, we ain't having anything come on, is y'all? And when it was all over, Miss Hall told me, said, honey, said, every time he has one of them, said, whoever it is that helps him, unless they hold on to that arm, said he's going to smack the devil out of him. Said he can't help it. I'm going to say a little old withered left arm. One year I went to get him for Christmas. He had to put, he got so, he'd run off from school and run off from home, Brother Steve. And he was just almost uncontrollable. And I went up in Indiana. And of course, they lived in Indiana. I went way up north Indiana to get him one year for Christmas. We was coming home and he called me Bubby. He loved to kiss him. He knew, I'll tell you what, he couldn't read nothing, Miss Sue. Nothing. But I'm going to tell you, you let an automobile pass by, he'd say, that's a 57 Chevrolet Bel Air. That's a 56 Ford right there. That's a 59 Cadillac. I mean, he knew them all. That's an oldsmobile, he'd say. He knew them all, friend. We got coming down that road and he said, call me Bubby. And Bubby said, I love you. He said, I love you. I said, Wayne, I love you too. He said, have you got any songs in here? I said, I believe I have. He said, you got any Christmas songs? I said, I believe I have. And I slipped in one of them little old tapes and, boy, I don't even know who it was. But somebody started saying, Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time. And he got to singing with them. Christmas time to come. He said, let's sing, Bubby, let's sing. And we got to singing, Christmas time to come. And he said, and I know. He said, I know, Bubby. He said, I know I'm going home. I said, hallelujah to God, son. We've about had camp meeting there in that car. You listen to what I'm telling you. My heart goes out to him. I'm telling you, my heart goes out to him. God bless their soul. May God give us a grace,
amen,
to look at the faults and the needs of others and realize,
amen,
God made them the way they are. God, if you've got a gripe about it, gripe with God. God made them that way.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
The Bible. Anybody in here want it? It's a big price.
Amen.
To pay. Somebody said, I thought you wasn't going to preach very long. I didn't say that. It's what you was hoping. I know you're getting sleepy. You get sleepy and get laid back enough that your heart will listen here in a minute. Revival. My people. Which are called my name. The Lord said, if I shut up heaven, I sent locusts to devour the land. In other words, God said, if I turn my hand and my power and my authority upon my people, they'll call. I'll hear. Now, I'm telling you, there's no reason for any of us to be in the spiritual condition that we're in. None whatsoever. Let's stand together.